Hi, everybody. I am Susanna Mars, and welcome to Adventures in Artslandia. I am sitting with a young lady who I've known for quite a long time. I met this young woman different than most podcast interviewees, and that is she attended Sam Barlow High School, where both my daughters went, and she and I met in the College and Career Center, where I volunteer sometimes, and she was a shining light at the high school for me. She's an incredible young woman who has been living with a disability since her birth. We talked a lot in the College Career Center about what types of scholarships she should apply for and what kind of things she wants to do, because she's an incredible person who has all sorts of exciting interests, and her biggest interest is music. Hi, Cassie.
Hello.
I just talked a lot. I just can't. I look in your eyes and I just feel full of smiles and an incredible inspiration. You're an incredible young woman.
Thank you. And thank you for having me. This is cool.
Oh, you're so welcome. Well, way back in the day when we met, you told me all about your blog and all the stuff you're doing online. How about if you tell everybody a little bit about that so that they can read what you put online if they're so inclined?
Yeah, so I started a music publication a couple years ago while I was still in high school, called Six Snaps, and you can find it at sixsnaps.co. And yeah, so I write about alternative music primarily, but we also cover anything from pop to hip hop, you know, just whatever we like. Me and a bunch of my friends write. And we write about albums that come out, we write about shows, sometimes I interview local bands because I try to put a spotlight on Portland's music scene because that's how I really got into music.
How did you get into music in the first place?
You know, it's weird because now that I'm like kind of more in the punk realm of things, it's funny because like long story short, it was like, I went to see a local musician who I became friends with because we both liked One Direction.
Oh.
Which is so funny looking back now.
Anti-punk.
Yeah, exactly. The very opposite of that. Mm-hmm. And while I was at that show, I discovered a local musician who was in the alternative scene in Portland. And then I was just kind of like, why doesn't everyone listen to them, like, you know, and just kind of got that mentality of, like, I want everyone to hear this, and that's kind of how things got started in me wanting to pursue, like, working in music and being able to promote music and talk about it in a way that people will take me seriously, so.
Well, I have so many questions for you. First of all, what is it about the alternative music scene that you love, you know, that's away from the mainstream?
I think there's just so much more of a community to it. Like, I feel like in the mainstream, there's a lot of drama. Because you see it, like, on the front of magazines all the time. And I feel like they just get really caught up on people's personal lives instead of just taking the music for what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in the alternative community, it's more like if people dive into the more personal aspect of it, it's connected to the lyrics and, like, getting the background of why they're writing what they're writing.
So more about the art.
Truly, yeah.
Mm. And who are your favorite alternative bands right now?
Oh, wow. it changes, like, by the hour, but...
That's great.
Some of my favorites lately have been The Main, who are pretty well-known. They're more, like, pop rock, kind of. And then... there's some other bands that are still growing that most people probably haven't heard of, but like A Will Away and...
A Will Away?
Yep.
Uh-huh.
And then there's a band that was actually from Hood River that moved to LA, and they're called Floor.
Mm.
And they're really good, like F-L-O-R, like...
Oh,
yeah.
Nice. Mm-hmm. So I just have to say, I'm sitting in Cassie's room right now. That's where we're doing this interview, and there are incredible banners and... music, inspirational phrases everywhere. It is really, really cool room. This must really inspire your work.
I mean, it's, yeah, I love it. It's taken a long time to get it how I want it. And about every time that it's like, I'm like, yes, it's done, then I'm like, or I could change this.
All right.
But I think it's nice since, since, like, I don't have a job or anything, and, like, in the summer, I don't necessarily have somewhere that I have to constantly be outside of my room, besides concerts, it's, like, it's nice to freshen things up, though, and have different things to look at, especially when I'm writing.
Mm-hmm. So, really, the thing that brought you back into my life, because you graduated from high school over a year ago, and you've been attending Mount Hood Community College, is the fact that you won a sub-city grant award from Hopeless Records, which is a nonprofit that reaches out and partners with charities to make a difference through music. And I saw it online, and I was so thrilled. Thank heaven I follow you on Facebook. And learned that you were awarded $10,000, which is incredible.
Yeah.
And the prompt, and I say prompt because that's our language when we were working together at the high school, you know, what's your prompt for this scholarship?
Yeah, pretty much.
How would you use $10,000 to change the world? And can you tell everyone how you answered that question to be awarded the money?
Yeah, so along with that, they kind of wanted whoever applied to be have a nonprofit in mind to work with or be a part of one or be able to be connected with one to pursue this idea of the prompt. And so about a month before I discovered this grant, I started a nonprofit called Half Access to increase accessibility at music venues. And so then I applied and I was basically just like, I'm trying to create this database of accommodation information on as many music venues across the country as possible to prepare disabled music fans when they go to a concert venue for the first time, because so many of them are not accessible at all, or you need to call ahead and let them know what your needs are. And so a lot of venues don't have that information detailed on their website, or they'll say, we're accessible, but that can mean so many different things to different people,
mm-hmm.
because we all have different needs when we go to shows. And so
mostly when you go to a show, you use a wheelchair.
Yes.
So I remember reading on your website, you were talking about the fact that sometimes you get to sit close, sometimes not at all. And I think that's what you're talking about, just the varying experiences.
Yeah, for sure. Well, and it's like some venues have stairs to get in and there's no elevator, there's no ramps. And so that's obviously huge, because people in, like, power wheelchairs or people who use another type of mobility device where they just can't go upstairs, mm-hmm. it's like they need to know that before they spend money on a ticket and then find out that they can't even get into the venue. And then what a lot of venues don't realize, just because there's not enough awareness around it, is that accessibility doesn't stop once we get inside.
Exactly. Yeah. You have to go to the bathroom. You have to use. You have to.
You have to be able to, like, see the stage,
right?
Safely, dude. Right. It's huge.
I love how you put that about. It is really about awareness. I think in so many cases where we think people are kind of trying to put us down in some way, or, you know, you're not able to get somewhere, and most venues are excited about the idea of having accessibility.
Exactly. Yeah, and like. I mean, even a lot of my friends, when they started going to shows with me, they were, and I started speaking up on this issue more, they were like, yeah, I didn't even realize it was a problem until I went to shows with you.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And that is so exciting, because the more you talk about it, and of course, getting this grant to work on the database is incredible. So how are you going to go forward and work on this? Are you going to do it by yourself, or are people going to help you, or...
Well, the first thing that I'm going to do is become a 501c3. Mm-hmm. And so with that, I'm creating a board of directors. And so a lot of it is friends who I go to for advice and brainstorming anyway. And so I think it's going to be good. And then a big part of the grant money is going towards redoing the website to be as functional as possible.
And tell everyone what the website is.
Halfaccess.org.
Halfaccess.org. And that's interesting. Can people make donation toward your, once you become a 501c3, people could make donations, right?
Yes, yeah. And when we redo the website, we'll have a section for that. So that way.
That's great.
Yeah, because then we can work on making promotional materials, because that'll, I think word of mouth is actually huge in this issue, because, like, social media can get you so far, but I think working with touring bands and having them help spread the word when they're traveling the country is going to be a huge part in making this bigger and really snowballing the change.
Give it some visibility.
Yeah, for sure.
Visibility, no pun intended in that, because you need visibility and people need visibility to see concerts, and that's amazing. And it's probably going to be awesome for you, because I just know how much you love music and bands, that you're going to get to be really the person in front of it all and talking to these bands about how important music is to you and how much you want to see it.
I know. Well, and that's what's kind of funny about this whole thing, is it's just like, anyone could have done this, you know?
I don't know. You know how I feel about you. You are special. I'm sorry.
Thank you. But I mean, like, you know, I'm just like, I don't know, I'm just doing what I love, and like, in the process, I mean, like, you know, when I wrote scholarship essays, I'd be like, I want to work in the music industry and eventually make some sort of change involving accessibility, but I never really knew what that would be, and then it just kind of fell into my lap. Like, I don't know, it just all kind of happened really fast, because Half Access is still super new, but so much is already happening with it, and it's really exciting.
It is, and I'm not surprised, only because ever since I met you, you know, writing scholarships with you, and you said, well, I don't know what to write about. And then, well, what did you do in middle school? Well, I guess I helped with accessibility at the middle school. Well, I guess I, you know, and yeah. So what you have experienced just as normal walking through life, you know, and making your way through life, you've had a lot of special needs that you personally have addressed and made changes for so many people already at your very young age.
I know. Sometimes I forget how young I am, because I'm like, oh, I don't know what I'm doing with my life. And then I'm like,
nobody
I'm
knows.
I'm only 19.
She's okay. Nobody who's older than, you know, 30 better listen to this podcast. I don't know what I'm doing with my life, but I'm over 50. Oh, I can't believe I said that in public. Yeah, it's you have an incredible spirit of you can do anything. You just step up and you kind of go, okay, what next? You know, I know you went to Mount Hood last year, and unfortunately you had to have a very major surgery during your time at Mount Hood. You're attending Mount Hood on the Oregon Promise, which is an incredible scholarship. And sadly, because you were absent for many days and over a month, correct?
Well, I took off winter term because I knew I needed to focus on my health. Like, I knew that there was no way that I could put full focus into both.
Right, and just FYI, Cassie is an incredible student, an honors student, an incredible, incredibly brilliant young woman. And so, as a result, her scholarship was removed. And the Oregon Promise still hasn't...
No, they put in a waiver, finally.
Great. They, what I was going to say was that the Oregon Promise is really floundering right now with trying to address issues of students who are special needs, and also people who have health issues. If they have to leave a term, there's no actual legal verbiage about how these students can return to school and still be on the scholarship. And Cassie, so wonderfully, is going to have a waiver and going to be able to attend back on the Oregon Promise.
Yeah, so because when I realized, like, that I was going to lose the Oregon Promise, I reached out and I was like, is there anything I can do, you know? Like, I didn't want to take off school, you know? It's not like I was just doing nothing.
It was a life and death situation.
Yeah, pretty much. And so then they put me on a list, and they said, whenever something is put into place, we'll call you. And then one day, yeah, I got the call, and I just had to tell them why I wasn't in school. And then, so now, as long as there's money, I'll be back on it and good to go for next school year, well, this school year.
So if you're an Oregon taxpayer and you are interested in the kinds of programs that will send people like Cassie to college, look into the Oregon Promise, look into how you can support these kinds of people who are doing incredible things. And thank you Oregon Promise for finding your way to see the light about Cassie going back to Mount Hood.
Yes, yeah, no kidding. Thank you.
And tell everybody also, you're going to get a business degree at Mount Hood. And tell us about the special program that you're going to take, which is going to enable you to get a four-year degree there.
Yeah, so Mount Hood partners with Eastern Oregon University. They also partner with some other schools, but... in particular for business students, they make it so that way you can get your four-year business degree while staying on Mount Hood's campus, because they have Eastern Oregon University like connected in, so that way it's like a satellite campus. Mm-hmm. And so it's gonna be a lot cheaper than going anywhere else, which I'm all about.
Right,
so.
And your parents support you incredibly beautifully. Yes. Your family and your brother. And so, I mean, it's really great you're going to be able to stay here.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit more about music. What are you up to in the next coming weeks? Any cool concerts coming up?
I have three next week, mm-hmm. which is actually so nice because the summer's been pretty dead. I think a lot of bands have just been writing new albums and stuff, mm-hmm. so they haven't been touring so much, or half of them are on Warped Tour, which is all summer long.
What's that?
It's a traveling festival, basically, the mm-hmm. band's Warped Tour. So there's like... I don't know, at least 50 bands on it. And so, yeah, they tour the whole U.S. And, yeah, so a lot of bands are on that, so there's not other shows happening. Mm-hmm. And, but then I have about 20 shows lined up for the fall that I'm going to that have been announced over the past, like, month.
Here in Portland and Seattle, too, or?
Just Portland.
Wow, Cassie, that's incredible.
Yeah, so it's going to be nice, though, because, content on Six Snaps has been a little bit slow lately because mm-hmm. There haven't been many new releases that have really inspired me to write anything, mm-hmm. and there hasn't been many shows, so it'll be good to get back into the swing of things with this fall.
Will Six Snaps have a place on Half Access, or are they going to live independently?
They're definitely independent because they're just... very different things, mm-hmm. you know, because Six Snaps is my platform to write about the music I love, and Half Access is this whole other entity
world.
That, yeah, just, yeah, accessibility and being able, Half Access, it will technically lead to me being able to do more with Six Snaps because it'll be easier to go to shows, and mm-hmm. like, I have another contributor to Six Snaps who has a disability, and one time he was gonna write about a show, and then the day of, we found out it was upstairs and that he wouldn't be able to go because of that, and so it's just, like, really frustrating. So that's, I mean, it's the people around me, too, that are making me want to really push for this change, because it's frustrating when I'm personally able to deal with stairs. I just get out of my chair and they carry it up and I hobble up the stairs, but, there's other people who can't, and so it's really frustrating for me being able to and knowing that they can't, that it's just, like, it makes me push 10 times harder.
That's incredible. So I'm curious, favorite venues in Portland?
The Hawthorne, first of all. The mm-hmm. Hawthorne Theater is the best. Like, they have... So there's a couple stairs in the front of the venue, but they've always taken me around through the back because it's flat to get in. That's where the bands load in, so it's all flat and easy for them.
Would that be available to anybody who
yes.
needed help?
Yep. Mm-hmm. They just, as soon as you're at the door, which I always just skip the line because there's no point in waiting because they take you through a separate entrance anyway. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, they just have a security guard take you around back. Mm-hmm. Sometimes if it's too chaotic and there's stuff in the way back there, they'll take you through the ramp, through the bar, and then inside. Mm-hmm. On the side entrance, but they recently, like, repaved the whole back because there used to be, like, a giant, like, pothole that we had to dodge, and then, like, the doorway to get in was this giant bump that they always had to pop a wheelie to get me in, mm-hmm. and now it's all flat and smooth and so nice.
Oh, that's great.
And then on the stage, there's, like, this bar that... they sometimes refer to it as the barricade, but, like, it's a bar that's on the stage. Mm. And they recently put disabled stickers, like, the logo stickers, on the bar at this one part where they always recommend that, like, I sit. And so one time I got in after a bunch of people were already inside, and no one was standing there, and I was like, that's kind of weird. It's the front row. Why wouldn't anybody? And then I saw the stickers and I was like, this is amazing.
That is so dang cool.
Yeah. And then for shows where they know that the crowd will be more rough because it's like a 500-ish cap venue. And so it's just standing room. It's not very big. Where they know the crowd's going to be more rough, they put up a barricade to section off the disabled section. So that way we don't have to deal with pushing and, like, crowd surfers and all that. So mm-hmm. it's, like, definitely going to be suggesting they put it up for quite a few of the shows I'm going to this fall because I know they're going to be wild. So.
That's kind of awesome. So are you going to send out, information? I mean, for instance, some of those venues who are trying to improve their experience for people who are in need could go to the Hawthorne and check out what they're up to.
I mean, like, they're in the database, so, mm-hmm. like, if someone's like, I want to go to a show there, let me look up the accessibility information, and they go look on Half Access, then they can see that they're flawless with what they do, and
Who else besides the Hawthorne?
The Crystal Ballroom's pretty good, mm-hmm. In terms of bigger shows. The Roseland's really good.
Mm-hmm.
They always have an ADA section. The Crystal, I've kind of fought for one for myself, at least, mm-hmm. which is also frustrating when I see other disabled people there, and I'm like, what do I do? Like, do they even want to, like, have somewhere to see? Because everyone enjoys shows differently, and so, like, whereas, like, I often need to write about shows, so I need to be able to see, so it's like, whereas other people might like hanging in the back, so it's like,
Cassie,
never know.
Seriously, you're a 19-year-old with such an incredible mind that you even think like that. Because here, even to be putting forward what you want for accessibility, you're not assuming that that's what everyone wants.
Well, I mean, like, because sometimes, like, I feel weird about being in the front if I don't know, like, the band. Because I'm like, I don't know, I just get weird about it because... Mm-hmm. Sometimes I go for, like, just the openers, and so then I'm just like, yeah, I can just kind of hang around. I don't really care if I can see. I'm just, mm-hmm. you know, and so, but, like, at the Crystal, I usually, since I'm under 21, because it sounds like they put disabled people who are 21 and over in a different spot, which mm-hmm. is, like, a whole nother thing in itself, because mm-hmm. I don't know what their experience is like, because I can't access whatever wherever they're being put, so they usually put me between, because they have an all ages section and a 21 plus section side by side with two barricades separating it down the middle,
mm-hmm.
so they usually put me between the barricades towards the front of the stage,
mm-hmm.
and so that always works really good. But depending who's working, sometimes they feel like it might be unsafe if there's going to be more crowd surfers going through there, mm-hmm. but for the most part, I've been able to be put there and see shows really well.
What's the show you're looking forward to most coming up? Is there one that you're just like, I cannot wait?
Probably, speaking of the Crystal Ballroom, Manchester Orchestra, Tiger's Jaw, and Foxing, like, that whole lineup is amazing. Like, when I bought my ticket, I was like, I feel like I'm stealing. Like, it was less than $30, and I was like, I would pay less than $30. Like, I would pay, like, $25 to see each of these bands separately. Wow. Like, I was just like, and so that's next month. I'm very excited about it.
Is it sold out?
I don't think it is yet. Mm-hmm. It's probably getting close, though.
Mm-hmm. Wow, so you've got a lot of wonderful things to look forward to.
For sure.
You've got school coming up.
Yes.
How are classes going?
I'm going to be taking statistics, which I've heard mixed things about. I'm kind of scared. I haven't done math in, like, 3 years.
As I recall, you're very good at math. Am I crazy? Am I not
I
remembering?
I took pre-calc junior year, mm-hmm. so then I didn't take math senior year.
But you killed it, right?
And then I didn't take math this year, so I'm like, hopefully it all comes flooding back to me.
It will. It's going to flood. I just know it.
And then I'm going to take Intro to Business Computing, which is, like, basically Microsoft Office stuff. Mm-hmm. And I already kind of know how to do all that.
You might be teaching that class.
Practically, yeah. And then there's, like, a big chunk of, like, electives that I need to take, I think.
What are you going to take?
I'm taking an elective writing class.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah. Like creative writing?
It's like creative nonfiction.
Great.
So, like, it even listed in one of the things, learn how to write reviews. And I'm like, okay.
That is going to be so fantastic.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. Any other fun electives?
That's all I'm taking right now. And then if I don't get the Oregon Promise, it'll probably only be one of those. But, well, I'm just going to keep chipping away at it. I mean, school's not going anywhere, so.
No, it isn't. And you are doing business side by side with school, so.
True.
You know, I would venture maybe some of the things you're doing may even count for credit in college.
I wish.
As you zip along, you'll be talking to counselors about things like that, I'm sure.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of nice to learn, like, that what I'm doing is right. Because, like, I don't know, it's all kind of guesswork and learn as you go when you start things like this. Mm-hmm. And so then, like, the taking classes alongside it makes it so easy to directly apply what I'm learning. It's nice.
Oh, yeah. And then you can see, oh, yeah, I do need more of this, or I need a little more of that. Oh, I can use this. Oh, this, I'm a good road on this. I don't need that. Yeah, and there are so many people. I know how amazing you are that you're going to meet lots of people on your road, as you already did in Cleveland, that are going to be interested in helping you in any way they can.
Yeah.
Just because of who you are.
I've had a lot of people reach out wanting to help with Half Access already.
That's great.
It's so nice.
So tell me and everybody what it was like for your first flight when you went to Cleveland to pick up $10,000.
So casual.
Did they give you a suitcase?
So it was like, I found out like, I think it was a week and a half before I needed to be on a plane that I like won and was going. And, which that was kind of a funny story because after they accepted my application and decided I was a finalist, they interviewed me. And then I got an email saying, you're a top two finalist. We need to interview you again. But when they called me, they were like, okay, so I'll start off with the first question. How would you like to be the winner of the 2017, like, subsidy APMA's $10,000 grant? And I was like, well, of course I would like that. And they were like, well, that's good because you won.
Oh,
and fancy. I was so caught off guard.
Oh.
And and so then after that, it was like, yeah, get on a plane a week and a half later for the first time in my life.
Well, what did you, who went with you?
My mom.
Nice.
Yeah, and so it was very wild.
Was it at the Rock and Roll Museum?
No, I think in the past it has been, and this year it was supposed to be at the Quicken Loans Arena, but then I think there was an issue with, I don't know.
Not accessibility.
No, definitely not. Kidding. Arenas are usually pretty great.
Right.
But something happened, and they had to switch venues like a couple days before the event to a theater, and so it went from a 20,000 capacity room to like a 3,500 cap room, and so to me, that was the biggest relief in the world.
Oh, I can imagine.
But also, like, it was too bad for all the people who couldn't go because it obviously sold out at that point.
Right.
But the first flight, because we had layovers, and the first one was Portland to D.C. We went past Cleveland, so we flew the whole length of the country for my first flight. So that was really cool.
Wow.
Yeah.
How'd you like flying?
I loved it.
Oh.
I thought that I would be really nervous, but at the end of, I was like, I'm gonna, like, drop everything and become a pilot. Like, I could never be responsible for that, but.
It sounds awesome. I'm sure you're gonna be doing a lot of flying.
Who knows? Yeah, I mean, I loved it. I immediately was like, oh no, this is really gonna give me, like, the need to travel more. Like, I want to so badly, but
you will.
I gotta, like, to. I mean, yeah, it's like all about priorities, and right now it's gotta be school, so.
Right. Well, you'll win something else, you'll have to fly somewhere else.
I mean, who knows? I'm
curious what it was like when you were sitting on that stage and talking to 3,500 people. Now you got a little taste of what it's like for the bands that you love, right?
Yeah, that's the thing is, backstage, I was freaking out, honestly. Dan, who was with me the whole day.
Dan Campbell.
Yes, from the Wonder Years. Not to be confused with the show.
The television show.
It's a band. They're great.
And you just spent the whole day. I saw online when I was watching that you spent the day with him, and he was really helping you kind of get ready.
He has played to big rooms, and so I was just like, I mean, like, I think I know what I want to say, but, like, I don't know. Like, you know, it was, like, really nerve-wracking.
Your speech was beautiful.
Well, what's weird is it's, like, I was so nervous, and then I got out there, and I was, like, I could, like, take a nap right now. Like, I don't know why, but I was insanely comfortable.
Mm.
Like, I was, like, why am I this comfortable?
Because you're where you're supposed to be.
I don't know. Dan was also just like, I mean, like, once you get out there, it's just kind of like, you have to accept that that's what's happening, like.
Right.
And that one picture of me and him that's everywhere from me being on stage from AP, it's like, I'm, like, laughing in the picture, and that's because I didn't know what to do during the standing ovation. Like, I didn't see it coming at all, and even though backstage Dan was like, oh, you'll definitely get one, I was like, psh. No. And then it went on forever, and I was like, what do I do?
It's so fun to watch the video. I'm going to put the link to the video on the podcast, and I hope you all will watch it, because it just will bring tears to your eyes to see people just so excited about what you're doing and excited about you and your enthusiasm and your intelligence. It's just, it was beautiful, beautiful to watch.
It was, I mean, it was just so surreal. Because, like, I knew that someday I wanted to, like, go to the APMAs just to go. Or, like, since I want to work in the music industry, oh, maybe I'd just end up there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I figured, oh, that'll be, like, 5-10 years down the line. Not like, oh, go on your first flight and you're actually going to be receiving a physical APMA. It's right there on my shelf.
Wow, that is cool. That is a beautiful award.
And it's my first ever trophy, because wow. It's not like I played, like, sports as a kid or did anything to earn a trophy. So it was like, and yeah, it's see, like, pretty heavy.
Well, I think what I'm going to do is take a picture of you with it to put on the podcast so everybody can see it.
Sounds good.
Yeah. I so appreciate you taking the time to talk to me today, and it's just thrilling to watch you achieve everything that I know you're going to achieve. It's been so much fun watching you, I don't know, since you were, what, a sophomore in
probably
high school?
End of freshman year, maybe.
Yeah, and just seeing you, you said this is what you wanted to do then, and now you're doing it.
Yeah, and thank you for always believing that, because I've had a lot of people be like, are you sure you don't want to be like a doctor or a lawyer or something? And I'm like, I am pretty well-rounded and could probably do okay at just about anything, but I would rather do what I love. And thank
you love
always
it.
Believed in me, and I appreciate that.
Oh, so easy to believe in you. You are absolutely delightful to be with. I have to mention Patty Neuwenschwander, who is the head of the College Career Center, who is another woman who just loves young people and adores you and is so excited for your success.
She's the best.
Yep, she really is.
I need to go visit her.
Yes, you do. Well, it's coming fall.
Yeah,
so
school's starting.
We'll
yeah.
meet back up in the College Career Center. So, Cassie Wilson, thank you again so much for talking to me, and check out her website. Check out Six Snaps. Check out Half Access. I'll put all the links on the podcast, and hope you have a great day. This great song, The Happy Song, is courtesy of Joe Kai, who is going to be coming onto the podcast next week. Looking forward to that.
If I could fly to you, I would.